Welcome to the Cult Film Showdown's special series on The Hitchhiker, the HBO series from the mid-1980s that almost invented the anthology for adults genre that we still have today. This is our second last episode of our look at The Hitchhiker. And this time out, we've got Cabin Fever. And my name is James Cotta. I'm guiding your way through this journey, and I'm joined by Nick Boxer.
Hi-ho! How you doing, Johnny?
And also, Jack Hall is here.
Wait, James Cotta, James, Jim Cotta? That's great!
I know, that's my parents had a sense of humor.
Been that the whole time?
It's been that the long as I've been around. It's been, I mean, Jimmy Cotta, but that sounded like I was like, that's President Carter as said by one of the sweat hogs.
Jimmy Cotta. Yeah, Horseshot. Jimmy Cotta.
Cabin Fever is the one we're looking at this time. Nick, you want to tell us what happened in Cabin Fever?
Sure. Our main character in this one is, I'm going to call him a gigolo for this, although, you know, the definitions sometimes vary on male prostitutes. But Rick Hansen is a gigolo that works the marina. Now, in this, he seems to pick up on a rich man's wife and is invited or is hired to become a cabin boy on this couple's, this May-December couple's trip to their weekend cabin as a cabin boy, or they like to call him a cabin boy. His actual role is kind of vague. But he sets out on their boat and they take him to the cabin. The older gentleman, played by Jerry Orbeck, it speaks about some vaguely threatening things. He talks about mushrooms in a really spooky manner. He waxes on about game meat and tequila, a couple other things. And you get the sense that, you know, Jerry Orbeck's not 100% on board with this guy being at the cabin, but yeah, so there's that. Turns out he's right to be sort of not happy with the situation because the wife enlists Rick to help kill her husband. And it turns out all is not what it seems, and he ends up getting locked in a basement and left for dead. This one's really straightforward.
It is kind of the more linear of the episodes we've looked at, for sure. We get a sex scene to start off, and then we get...
Doesn't every episode of Hitchhiker start off with a sex scene?
It does seem like that now, yeah. We're on a bit of a run of them. I think what was strange for me about this one was that that everything just happens so quickly. Like, there's no air in the beginning of this. We see the gigolo or the fuck boy. Is that what you would call this guy? He's with one woman older than him, and while her husband is away, and then wanders down to the docks and happens to see a woman alone who happens to fall in lust with him at first sight, even though her husband is there like within a minute. So, and her husband's immediately, who's this guy? Why is this guy here? Jack, what are your first thoughts on this?
The female lead is played by Susan Hubley, working actress for many, many years. And her and Jerry Orbeck, I don't know, maybe they didn't feel like husband and wife. Maybe they didn't have that kind of chemistry, but they're both very good. And especially Orbach, to me, I mean, the whole episode centers around his performance. It's very strong and it's not overstated. I mean, he's not chewing scenery either. He's kind of subtle about it. It's just a really good performance and it really helps the episode because it's an episode and there will be spoilers definitely in this episode. So people hopefully have watched ahead, but it's an episode where the twists and turns you don't want to overthink it. So, I mean, whether or not you enjoy the episode probably comes down to his performance.
Would have helped if there was, I mean, when he does pick up the wife, and you sort of alluded to this, it's done immediately, and I didn't get any sexual tension at all between the two. They're just staring blankly at each other. And all of a sudden, he's invited on their weekend romp.
Look, I'm straight, and even I wanted to bang Rick Hansen. That was a good-looking dude.
I don't know. I thought he was way old for this role. It looked like Kevin Sorbo. He looked like Kevin Sorbo.
That's a handsome man.
See that comparison? Well,
do you guys think that Orbach was strong enough to carry the entire episode? I do think he was. Again, how willing to accept kind of the it's not the craziest. It's not as out there as some of the episodes we've seen from The Hitchhiker, definitely, as far as like, but you, like I said, you don't want to overthink it. I mean, it kind of, I don't want to, like I said, I mean, we will be giving spoilers, but this is a couple that she wants. The only thing that really felt really, really out of place was that she gets this cabin boy, and he's definitely a cabin boy because Orbach's character calls him cabin boy like 47 times and makes him do everything. He calls Orbach old man because that's the kind of respect that a cabin boy should show. And there's the part where she and the cabin boy, he's complaining about the fact that he's claustrophobic and they get trapped together in the cellar basement, the wine cellar. And he's complaining, and then they get out of that room and they're still underneath the ground, though. They're just not in the wine cellar anymore, and they're still in a tight little space. And from there, he's totally fine to bang her. So he's claustrophobic in the one room, and in the other room, he's totally fine in a very tight space. And then immediately she wants to him to, like, they sleep together once, and then she's like, he hits me. He hits me when he gets drunk. We can be together. We can, like, I'm like, she's asking a lot to ask somebody to kill somebody. Like, her, she better have some grand pussy, because that's a big ask to ask somebody to kill you. I mean, it better be good.
It better be Magic Land down there. Well, and I think that's one of the interesting things. It gives you a couple of false leads on where the story's going, because at that point, I was getting the kind of pulp story of, you know, she convinces him to that she's in trouble so that he kills the husband and then she does away with him in so-called self-defense. We've seen it before, but it keeps twisting a little. And I think what you were talking about, Nick, about the first meeting between them, I think it makes more sense when you have the ending, once you have the ending, then, because it feels very rushed and very like how did this actually come together? He pretty much agreed. Yeah,
no, if they had an hour and better actors, it would have been a much better episode. But in half an hour, I don't think anything really worked other than I enjoyed Jerry Orbach waxing on about mushrooms and tequila.
That was, yeah. If I mean, if Orbach's parts were just like a monologue, it probably would work equally well or better.
Mm-hmm. Come on, I think that the ending is kind of clever. Like, is the director character, Orbach's character, threatens Season and threatens her life with a knife. And the Hansen character takes a gun and accidentally shoots Orbach. And then, she does away with him. And then it turns out that he's trapped downstairs. And in fact, they were working together, and because he's a movie director, it was all special effects. And Orbach is still alive. And it's just their way of, they're just playing with him. They're doing all of this just to play with him, just because they're bored, a bored couple, basically. And the idea is that they're leaving him in the cabin, but he is supposed to know where the key is to get out, because she showed him when they were trapped down there the first time. So he's supposed to know his way out. Instead, because he himself planned to trap Orbach's character in the basement, in the wine cellar, he had gone in and changed where the key was located and put it in a bottle. This just so happened to be a bottle that she had brought up by accident to the upstairs for them to drink. So at the end, because of his own undoing, he's trapped in there and will die in there. But it's not their intention to kill him. It's not. So I kind of think that was clever, just the idea that he is undone by his own greed.
Hoisted on his petard, as they say. I think that's the phrase. Yeah, I like that part of it. I like the stories where the bad guy is not the worst person in the show. That it turns out that his intended victims are like much, much worse. So yeah, I thought it was a good twist. I don't know that I totally bought Orbach as the film director. I think like they could have seeded that a bit more.
The whole director thing for me felt tacked on. Just to explain the access to special effects so they could get the gun in there.
Come on, he is a, not just a director, he's a director of the type of movies we would watch. He's the director of things like Beach Party Massacre. And, you know?
I think I've seen
things like that. Like they were like, oh, okay. Like he sounds like Wynorski or something like that is the character.
I'm just thinking it could have used some time to develop that, and maybe if some of his conversations, you know, centered around the movie thing a little bit more than the mushrooms. I could have got a little bit more into it.
So he talks about the mushrooms, he makes the mushrooms, there's this whole back and forth, like cat and mouse thing of is like, are these mushrooms gonna kill the guy if he has some, like, and but they're just yummy mushrooms and he grows them himself. And then at the point where the gigolo goes downstairs with the wife, like he's carrying a tray of these mushrooms, unclear why they're there. But he carries a tray of the mushrooms down. And I'm like, that's a lot of mushrooms. Like that's for two people. That's a lot of mushrooms. And then he goes in and there's like 10 trays like this. I'm like, how many mushrooms can this guy possibly eat? Maybe
he did say to me, the line of the entire show was where he's talking about how, I'm not quoting it verbatim here, but he's sitting there going, you can't trust people, but mushrooms you can trust. And people, they live and they die. You can't trust them. Mushrooms, though, if you give them the right nutrients, they'll live forever.
This is so Orbach's show. He just owns this thing. He has all the best lines.
He's not chewing scenery. Like he knows that this character is ridiculous. He knows all this is ridiculous, but he's not chewing scenery. He's doing it kind of subtly, which makes it even more of a wink, wink to you.
Yeah, there's just a lot of it. Because, I mean, you got the mushroom thing. And then you got his pitch for making a whole movie from the point of view of a tequila worm.
That was awesome. Okay. I what you say. That was awesome.
He's the best thing in here. I'm just saying the rest of it just felt tacked on so he could do this crap.
Orbach's performance reminds me of, it reminds me of what Michael Caine did in a bunch of movies in like the 70s. Like, what was it called? Sleuth. And yeah, just like that. Like, it's not, it's really understated. Like, the lines are pulpy, but like the performance itself doesn't go that direction. Yeah, like I really liked his speeches in this. And
yeah, and he also went off and talking about tequila and what makes for good tequila, and talking about there's no peas in my tequila or anything like that, and it's stirred, not shaken, and you know.
No,
like,
that's a martini.
This is a very specific gentleman.
That's a martini. Yeah, I felt the need to correct that too, actually.
Yeah, well, he says tequila is the only alcohol worth drinking, and then almost immediately makes martinis, which are a vodka or gin drink.
This is true.
I mean, oh, yeah, I agree with him. I agree with him completely on the on his martini conversation.
The transition from tequila to champagne to martinis was a little abrupt, though.
Well, I mean, it was the Gigolo character that suggested the champagne.
It was.
I still don't understand why.
That's where the cabin boy thing really took a weird turn, is that the cabin boy wants to have champagne. Like,
what he does, though, is he says, we should have champagne. Why don't you and I go down and choose a bottle? So, like, I think at that point, like, I think we're supposed to get that he's like, he's going to try to do something to him. He's going to like, where I thought it was going was he's hidden the key. He's going to lock Jerry Orbach in the basement. Jerry won't know how to get out. But that's not where it goes. But maybe that's what his plan was, what the Gigolo's plan was.
I think that's what the Gigolo's plan was. But I think also he could tell through the door Orbach where the key is, because he put a key. Because if you're going to take the key and trap the guy down there, why would you put the key back in that room in any way, even if you change the location? Like, that's a little strange as far as character motivation choices.
I guess because it is that option of, like, I mean, it does leave it, if he gets stuck in there, he's got a way out. Or he's the only one that knows he can get out. But
that's true. I never thought of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We might be fansplaining this. we do have a tendency on the Cult Film Showdown to write in plot elements that weren't there just to make it make more sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense, though, because okay, if I get trapped, I have a way out. If anybody else gets trapped, yeah, like if he gets trapped and the plan is to trap him down there so he and the wife can escape together, and by accident she happens to grab the bottle that he put the key in. And they don't intend to kill him, but he's going to die. Yeah, no, it all actually makes sense if you think about it. It's maybe it's better put together than we thought. It's just, unfortunately, the pacing is off. That probably is why I think Nick was so bored. So
yeah, I think it
acting,
did. Yeah,
he didn't do it.
Yeah, there's not enough air in it for sure. I thought it was funny that they lock him in the basement and they're like, oh yeah, the last guy just flagged down the ferry or something. That'll get you back to shore like tomorrow or whatever. And then like the husband and wife were talking as they're going out, and she says, well, yeah, I showed him where the key was. He'll remember it eventually. I'm like, what happened that he wouldn't remember it immediately? It hasn't been long. And it's not like
good. How many times do you get the feeling that they've done this just to play with people?
I felt, well, they said the last guy, which doesn't seem, I mean, that the last guy makes me think that it's at least three, because you would have said the one before, or the first guy. The last guy is part of a series. So I think
I'm thinking they live in an area with a lot of gigolos is what I'm thinking. Like the gigolo to female percentage is higher than any other place in the country is what I'm thinking where they live.
It's funny that the setup must be that she stands on the dock struggling with the sail for the whole day, waiting for someone to come by and offer to help.
It's like fishing. It's like fishing. You throw the worm over there and you just sit there the rest of the day and hope some fish is going to bite.
I think that's the plan. And Jerry Orbach has to stay downstairs, peeking through the window. he's watching daytime soaps, just waiting for the moment.
Yeah. No, it's I didn't mind it mainly because of Orbach. I sort of like the episode. Because you know it's not the best of the Hitchhikers, but I don't think it's the worst either that we watched in this season. So 9 episodes in, I would give it a solid 6.5 out of 10. I think people should watch it themselves and judge. Yeah,
you said I was bored, and like there is some truth to that, but at the same time, I did enjoy the episode a whole lot. I just enjoyed one particular element, and the rest was kind of nonsense.
Yeah, but that element was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's another one down, and we have one more episode to go in our look back at The Hitchhiker.
And what an episode it is.
And that episode is entitled Last Scene. It's not a coincidence that I put this one at the last of the season. You can find us on Instagram at The Cult Film Showdown, also on Patreon, where you can support our efforts. We're also on YouTube and podcast apps with the show regularly. So subscribe, like, share, comment. Tell us what you might want us to look at coming up. We've been enjoying these runs through series. We might do something we're talking about something a little different next time. So you'll find out more in our final episode of the season. And we are sponsored by WeTalkPodcast.com, the home of the Octagon, our search for the ultimate B movie. They have a Facebook and they have a Twitter, or X. If you're I feel like it's, I can't say it without like it feeling like a 90s comic book. Have you tried X? X?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Extreme. It is poorly named. I mean, no one just says X. It's always X, formerly Twitter.
But Elon Musk is blowing it with his social media platform. What are you talking about?
The plan was perfect.
Not to mention, I think it's like his fourth company that he's tried to call X.
Is it like his favorite of it? Is it that his favorite of his 40 kids or something is named X?
Well, his kids are named things like if you go, I think how he names his kid, I think what he does is he goes and to some website that asks for a password, and the automatically generated one is what he names his kid.
That explains why every time he sees them, he has them do a test where they have to prove they're human. Hitchhiker.
And the funny part is we're probably not even that far off.